In our last session, we discussed the importance of becoming a good listener if we wish to improve our loving skills. In this session, we turn to a most difficult subject, perhaps the most difficult aspect of loving. That is, how do we love the unlovable? How do we love those who treat us badly? How do we love our enemies? One of the best treatments of this subject I have come across is in the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, in the chapter on forgiveness. He points out that we are to love others as we love ourselves. Now, we don't always think of ourselves as particularly nice and lovable. Sometimes we see ourselves as not very nice, if we are honest with ourselves. But we always love ourselves and want the best for ourselves. This leads us to a great truth. It is not necessary to think someone else a nice person in order to love them. It is not the case with ourselves, and it is not the case with others. This is an enormous relief, for many people think that loving your enemies means making out that they are really not so bad after all, when we know that this is not the case. So I am allowed to hate some of the things my enemy does, but I am not allowed to hate my enemy. We can hate the sin, but not the sinner. And this is exactly what we do in our own case. Isn't it true that we can look upon some of the things we have done with great distaste and even loathing, yet still love ourselves and want the best for ourselves? In fact, one of the reasons why we hate the things we have done is because we love the person who did them. We are sorry that that person, namely ourselves, got into the position of doing those things which we regret. So we need to look at our enemies, at those who use us badly, in the same way. Just as we are sorry that we did things we shouldn't have done, we must be sorry the other person does things that they shouldn't do towards us and towards others. C.S. Lewis says this, "The real test is, suppose one reads a story of filthy atrocities in the paper. Then suppose that something turns up suggesting that the story might not be quite true or not quite so bad as it was made out. Is our first feeling, thank God, they are not as bad as that? Or is it a feeling of disappointment and even a determination to cling to the first story for the sheer pleasure of thinking your enemies as bad as possible? If it is the second, then it is the first step in a process which, if followed to the end, will make us into devils. We are beginning to wish that black were a little blacker." End of quote. If, on the other hand, we are genuinely pleased that the person is not so bad, we are wishing the best for them. And this is another way of saying we are being loving towards them. How can we change from wishing ill towards those whose actions we don't like to wishing the best for them? Firstly, in obedience to God, we must decide that we want to be loving towards those who offend us. We must be prepared to give up that sinful pleasure we get at their misfortune. We must accept that there but for the grace of God go I. I could be like that person if I had faced the same circumstances. So we substitute the pleasure of serving God for the sinful pleasure of hating our enemies. The story is told of a girl whose mother was brutally murdered. The murderer was convicted and sent to prison. The girl decided, in obedience to God, to love the murderer by visiting him in jail and forgiving him. As a result, the murderer came to love the Lord and was saved. This is our model. This girl substituted the joy of leading another soul to salvation for the sinful pleasure of a lifetime of hatred from an unforgiving spirit. So we love our enemies by wishing the best for them, but not necessarily feeling fond of them or saying that they are nice when they are not.